Welcome to Our Savior Lutheran's Family Life Podcast, the ministry of Our Savior Lutheran Church and School here in Lansing, Michigan, is to serve God's people by offering practical, scriptural ways to learn, live, and share Christ. My name is Dave Wright, and I'm the Minister of Family Life here at Our Savior Lutheran Church. On the podcast today, I want to talk about our calling as Christians and as individuals. I was reading the other day in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, 26th verse, and I kind of want to read that to you. And then I was reminded of a book that I read a few years ago by Oz Guinness called The Call. And just a wonderful read, which really put into focus what our calling is, who our calling is to as Christians. So I want to read 1 Corinthians, and then I have some sections of the book that I'll quote in the next few minutes during this talk. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26, "For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth." Actually, I'm going to read part of verse 27 as well. "But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong." So as I look back at that, and as Christians, Paul is imploring the people to consider their calling. They're not going to be held up on a pedestal according to the world and according to the world's standards. And, you know, you think about that today. If you're, you know, an average person and you're not rich and you're not famous and you're not up on the big screen and you're not in the news constantly, you know, you just haven't arrived according to the world, because we tend to idolize fame and fortune. And so he's keeping it real here with his audience. He says, you're not considered wise according to worldly standards. You're not powerful, okay? You weren't born into nobility here. But God chose what's foolish in the way of the world, in the world's eyes, okay? And he chose what's weak to shame those strong people, supposedly strong people, the people of the world. Why do we call it a calling, I guess, is my first thought and question. Well, because someone's doing the calling. And so we have to ask ourselves, really on a daily basis, I think, who are we listening to when it comes to fulfilling our purpose in life? There's really, I mean, two types of calling, and they're both directly related. But there's a primary calling, and there's a secondary calling for a life. I want to read to you some excerpts from the book, The Call, just to kind of put it into a better understanding of this author's view of what our calling is, our true calling as Christians. He says, "Our purpose can be found only when we discover the specific purpose for which we were created and to which we are called. Answering the call of our Creator is the ultimate why for living, the highest source of purpose in human existence. Apart from such a calling, all hope of discovering purpose will end in disappointment. To be sure, calling is not what it is commonly thought to be. It has to be dug out from under the rubble of ignorance and confusion. And uncomfortably, it often flies directly in the face of our human inclinations. But nothing short of God's call can ground and fulfill the truest human desire for purpose." And then he writes, "Only when we respond to Christ and follow his call do we become our real selves and come to have personalities of our own. So when it comes to identity, modern people have things completely back to front. Professing to be unsure of God, they pretend to be sure of themselves. Followers of Christ put things the other way around. Unsure of ourselves, we are sure of God. You know, it almost makes me think that the author, Oz Guinness, here in that quote is thinking of 1 Corinthians 1:26 and 27 as he writes that. Professing to be unsure of God, they pretend to be sure of themselves. That's the people of the world. They doubt God's power. They doubt even God's existence. But man, they are really certain of themselves. And they themselves have become the God to answer to. They themselves are the ones that direct their paths. Everything that they achieve comes from within. But for someone who's been called by God and who understands that calling, they put things the other way around. They're not always certain of themselves. They understand that they are a humble being. They understand that by nature they're sinful and not worthy of great things or God's grace. But they are certain of God. And that's a big difference between those who are following the calling of God versus those who are wandering aimlessly, thinking that they themselves, in and of themselves, are the, a compass, I guess, or the compass that they're supposed to be following, the belief within. Our secondary calling has to do with everything that we do, everything that we speak, the way that we live should be entirely for God. So whatever vocation, you know, career that we find ourselves drawn to, that's not our primary calling. That's part of our secondary calling. Our identity certainly doesn't rest in what we do for a living. It merely allows us to have a place to really exercise that secondary calling. So no matter what your career is currently, it's only a career that's of service to God if acting and speaking and thinking for God is infused in your job. So in other words, it doesn't matter what you're doing for a career, for your vocation, but the primary motivation within that career needs to be to bring glory and honor to God, to be satisfied with the work that you are doing. Your primary calling, again, is as followers of Christ. I'm going to refer back again to Oz Guinness, and he writes just that. He says, our primary calling as followers of Christ is by him, to him, and for him. Our secondary calling, considering who God is as sovereign, is that everyone, everywhere, and in everything should think, speak, live, and act entirely for him. We can therefore properly say, as a matter of secondary calling, that we are called to homemaking, or to the practice of law, or to art history. But these and other things are always the secondary, never the primary calling. They are callings rather than the calling. They are our personal answer to God's address, our response to God's summons. Secondary callings matter, but only because the primary calling matters the most. I want to kind of piggyback that thought with another quote from Martin Luther, and you've probably heard of this one, but he writes, the works of monks and priests, however holy and arduous they be, do not differ one whit in the sight of God from the works of the rustic laborer in the field or the woman going about her household tasks, but that all works are measured before God by faith alone. Indeed, the menial housework of a manservant or maidservant is often more acceptable to God than all the fastings and other works of a monk or a priest, because the monk or priest lacks faith. Guinness, again, a little bit later on in his book, writes, "We must restore the primary calling to its primary place by restoring the worship that is its setting and the dedication to Jesus that is its heart. There's no surer guide here than the devotional writer Oswald Chambers, and he writes, beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him." I find that a fascinating statement there. Let me read that again. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him. Chambers continues on, the one aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God, not a call to do something for him. How true that is. You know, we don't do anything for God that he needs us to do. He doesn't need us to do anything. He desires our companionship. He desires community with us. He desires to be with us in eternity forever. And he desires to have us do things in life that bring glory and honor to him. But he doesn't need that. He doesn't need anything from us. I want to kind of shift gears here in our talk about our calling. Let's think about it in this way. In Genesis, you know, as God was creating various parts of the world, it says things like, and he called the light day and the darkness night. He called the expanse sky. So to call means literally to name. And in Genesis, it literally meant to call into being. I think about that when, you know, you think about, you know, my own faith journey, the way that God called me. When he called each one of us, he literally named us his own. He named us Christian. And that's something that, again, we can't live up to that. Only by God's grace can we. Only when we recognize that we're sinful and, you know, we blow it, we make mistakes daily. And only through Christ, therefore, can we live up to that. So it's really a humbling thing to think about the fact that God has named you as a Christian his. That's our name, Christian, and we belong to him. The Apostle Paul refers to being called by God several times, you know, throughout the New Testament. And I'm just going to take, for example, some verses in Galatians where he writes in Galatians 1, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so that I might preach among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus." That's so rich with just sort of blind faith. You know, when God called him, when God decided it was time to get a hold of Paul, who, by the way, was probably one of the least desirable people you'd want to go after in terms of trying to convert this guy. You know, Christians are running away from him. He's rounding people up and throwing them into prison and overseeing the stoning of Christians and the people who, you know, called themselves part of the way at the time. And people are terrified of him. And yet, that's the one that God reaches out to call. And Paul says, God who set me apart from birth, okay, and called me by his grace. That's all God. Paul didn't reach out to God. And it's such a great illustration, I think, of how God calls each one of us. We don't meet God halfway. He comes to us 100% of the way. And he gives us his grace. He extends his hand to us. He offers that forgiveness of sins. And the only way we mess it up is by refusing it, because he's made it so easy. Paul continues on and he says, I did not consult any man, but I went immediately where he was supposed to go. he didn't have to talk about it with other people. He knew in his heart that God was calling him, and he put away that pride. He swallowed that pride, and he said, okay, God, take me, I'm yours. I love this story, not to get off track with this story, but, you know, again, Paul, who previously was called Saul, was just vehemently opposed to the Christian church, and then this conversion happens. You know, this guy was the chief persecutor of Christians, and we've all read about the conversion. Saul was blinded. He didn't eat or drink anything for a while after that. And then I almost chuckle at this part about, because of the reputation of Paul, and I'm going to make a point here when I get done talking about Paul and then Ananias here. God tells this man in a vision named Ananias to go to the house where Saul was and put his hands on him to restore his sight. And Ananias has got to be thinking, are you kidding me? There's no way. You must have called the wrong person here. I must have put some bad leaves in my tea before bed or something, because I'm not sure that I heard that vision correctly. This has got to be what Ananias is thinking. You know, I'm going to go to prison if I survive that long. If I step into this situation of going and seeking out this, you know, this murderer, Saul. But then in Acts 9:15, God insists, and he says to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings. I've always been sort of amazed and in awe of that section there, that verse, my chosen instrument. Man, God can do so many things with us when we allow him. And he can work things through us that we didn't think were possible. And Paul is the prime example. I mean, again, I can't think of a least likely person to receive the call than Paul or Saul at the time. And yet God completely turns his life around and the lives of millions and millions of people after him who have, you know, read the large sections of the New Testament that Paul is responsible for writing, those inspired words of God put down on paper by Paul. And, you know, I think we're no different than Paul's former self as Saul. You know, we dishonor God daily. We mock each other. We think bad thoughts. We lie. We concern ourselves so often with worldly things that are really so trivial and petty. You know, like what's going on right now with coronavirus and social distancing and just the way that social media has blown up and really made people choose sides, if you will, and put us in situations where we're debating one another, we're arguing with one another, we're drawing lines in the sand. And we're saying, you can no longer be my friend if you say this or if you believe this. And that's what I would call, in the big scheme of things, petty. Petty disagreements and arguments. And some people would disagree. But that's just my opinion. And yet God is still able to use us, petty human beings, as his instruments. He's still able to use us who squabble and who argue and who fight and who are self-centered and selfish, who want what we want. He's able to use us, broken people, as his chosen instruments. Instrument is such a great word to use there, because what does a great musician do, you know, with an instrument? They make beautiful music. They're trained, if they're trained properly, they make fantastic sounds, and it's an awesome thing to listen to. God can make awesome music with each one of us when we're willing to heed the call, when we're willing to get behind him, not in front of him, not in his way, but just follow him doing what he's working through us to do. And again, as I'm reminded from what Guinness wrote earlier, not for God. We don't do things for God, because he doesn't need us to do things for God. He doesn't need us to run errands for him or send messages for him. He can do all that. But we do things to bring glory and honor to him. A couple more final thoughts here on our calling. St. Francis of Assisi has one of my favorite sayings of all time, and he says, "Preach the gospel constantly, and if necessary, use words." And when I think about our calling, who we are thanks to Jesus' death and resurrection, you think we want to live in such a way that other people are going to see Jesus in us. Because Jesus preached a gospel of love and of inclusion and of forgiveness and of grace. And when we are practicing those things in our life, we become an attractive individual. We become somebody that others want to be around. We become something as God's chosen instrument. When we kind of let ourselves go and just do the work of God, we become someone that other people want to get to know. They want to know what drives you. What gives you that ability to be gracious under pressure? What gives you that ability to be kind, to be gentle, to display all of those fruits of the Spirit that we're able to have with, you know, with God's help and certainly with the help of the Holy Spirit? And so those words of St. Francis of Assisi, that's how we preach the gospel constantly, by our actions, by our words, by the things that we say. And if necessary, share those gospel message words. I want to close with a verse from 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it." Again, just some thoughts on my mind as, again, I started this by reading part of 1 Corinthians, got stuck on verse 26 of chapter 1, and again was reminded of a wonderful book. I'm just going to give a plug for this book by Oz Guinness, G-U-I-N-N-E-S-S, called The Call. And, throughout each chapter, he really does a great job of really talking about how God works through us, about what our priorities really should be as a Christian. And he kind of distinguishes as well between the confusion of our calling to God versus our calling as a career or a vocation. And they're very different. And yes, as I kind of mentioned a few minutes ago, our secondary calling, that's kind of infused in every part of our life, and particularly in our vocation and in our career, in each and everything we do, you know, no matter if it's, you know, sweeping the streets or performing heart surgery, it doesn't matter. When we do them in a joyful spirit, out of thankfulness to what Christ has done for us, when we do them in such a way as to bring glory and honor to God, and when we do those things, our vocation, to be excellent for God, then we're really following our primary calling. And that is the calling that God has given each one of us to be his, to be Christian. So that's all I've got for this week's podcast. Again, my name is Dave Wright, and this has been Our Savior's Family Life Podcast. I hope that you'll check out future podcasts on our website, which is oursaviorlansing.org. If you click on media, it will take you to the OSL Family Life podcast, and you can find some archived sermons there as well. I wish you all God's peace as you learn, live, and share Christ within your calling from Christ as a Christian. Take care.